Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Good morning. I see Betty Jo Tucker is already in the house. Go, Betty Jo. I gotta look at my emails, Betty Jo, to see what your show will be this week. Betty Jo, you didn't email me? Well, okay. Betty Jo Tucker, movie addict headquarters. We had a great time with our friend George Bent here in New York City with Bush doing a stellar job at Dalton Room. Open up the chat room. Want to join the chat? Just go to PTR, give yourself a chat that is hopefully self-promoting, and join the chat. Oh, you really will. And just interesting things. So everything's going on, and we'll have a fun time. Today, what else is going on? Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Attic Headquarters, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Just wanted to get that in there right away. Okay, because Betty Jo, you know it's all about Luciana is in this next song. Next up is The History of Me by Alan Zweibel.
I wanted to be a comedy writer. I always did ever since I was a little boy growing up on Long Island, but I was in
college, and there was no courses, there was no curriculum, there was no way, there was no road to take to become a comedy writer. So I figured, gee, maybe I'll become a lawyer, have something to fall back on. And my grades were okay, but they made me take this test, the law boards, the LSATs. Are you familiar with this test? Which was, they're graded from 200 to 800. If you can write your name, you get a 200. If you're Albert Einstein, you get an 800. If you're me, I got a 390, which reclassified me as a mineral, like right away. And I got a 390. I went home to Long Island, told my Jewish parents that I got a 390 on the law boards. And about a week later, this is after they uncovered the mirrors, and and got up from those wooden boxes that they had brought in. My father handed me $1,000, which I then handed to a guy named Stanley Kaplan. You know this guy? He's all over. He's got these schools where they teach you how to prepare to take standardized tests. And for 6 months, $1,000, 6 months, I'm there with the earphones on and the number two pencils and taking the old test and just really focusing on retaking the law boards, which I did 6 months later, where my score catapulted up to a 401. So I figured at that rate, I'd be 90 and my father would be broke by the time I got into an English-speaking law school. So I started writing jokes for Catskill comedians, old comedians who were working the Borscht Belt, the Jewish Alps, called the Catskill Mountains. The Catskill Mountains in the 50s and the 60s were the spawning ground for comedians. I wrote for every Morty, Dickie, Freddie, and Lee that ever lived, okay? I'm 21, they're 50 years old, and they're paying me $7 a joke. That was the rate that I got, $7 a joke. And some of them were just real pains in the ass about it because they'd only pay me if the joke got a laugh. Yeah, so what I would do is I would get in my parents' car on a Friday or Saturday night, drive from Long Island up to the Catskill Mountains, to the Concord Hotel, to the Neverly, Grossinger's, wherever it was. I'd sit in the back of the room and I'd listen to my jokes being told. And then one of the comedian would come off the stage and he'd come up to me and he says, boy, you know, that joke about paving the driveway really didn't get a laugh. And I said, gee, I heard a laugh. And then we would bargain and I'd go home with $4, you know. So, you know, I was 21, they're 50. You know, it was like writing for my parents' friends. And there's different sensibilities and I really didn't want to write for them, but these were the only people that I knew. And I looked around and go, no, I got to change something here. I got to change. And what I did was, there were two clubs in New York at the time. This is in the mid-70s now. It's a Catch a Rising Star and the Improvisation. There were two showcases where the newer breed of comedians at the time were coming through. So what I did was I took all the jokes that these older guys wouldn't buy from me, and I made it up into a stand-up comedy act for myself. And I went to the club, and my plan was to go on stage, deliver the jokes with the hopes that a manager, an agent, a TV executive, all of whom were hanging out at these clubs now, would like the material and give me a job. The first week that I'm there, I met a guy who was also starting out. His name is Billy Crystal. And he was starting, and we became fast friends. I lived in Woodmere, Long Island with my parents. And he lived in Long Beach, Long Island with his wife and kid. He's more mature than I am, okay? And every night he would take his little blue Volkswagen and pick me up at my parents. By the way, in case it ever comes up in conversation, this is the international symbol for little blue Volkswagen, okay? He would pick me up at my parents' house. We'd go into the city, tell our jokes, and then he would take me home. I'm about 4 months into this experiment. I'm on stage about 1 o'clock in the morning, having the hardest time in the world making these six drunks from Des Moines laugh. I get off the stage and I'm really upset. It was horrible. I go over to the bar and I'm hanging my head and waiting for Billy to get done so I can get a ride home. When a guy comes and he sits down next to me and just starts staring at me and staring at me, and finally I go, what? He goes, you know, you're the worst comedian I've ever seen in my life. I said, I know. Why rub this in like this? What are you doing? He said, well, your material's not bad. Did you write it? I said, yeah. He said, can I see more of it? I said, you bet. I didn't even ask who it was at first because I would have shown it to like a gardener at this point, okay? Ends up, this guy is Lorne Michaels.
Wow, a great story. Great story there. Betty Jo Tucker this week's going to have one of my favorite themes going on here because she's going to be talking about Jackie Chan Chan. Love the Chan Man. It's going to be great. You want to check it out. She's also going to review Dragon Blade, Chan's latest action movie. I love all of his films. Movie man A.J. Hockery returns for a discussion. So that's Movie Attic Headquarters every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Also, I want to get in. My friend Terry Mintz produces this great show in Manhattan, if you're in Manhattan. It's called Word, the storytelling show. People, Stories, Music, Booze, 8 p.m. Wednesday, September 16th. And that will be at Sidewalks, 94 Avenue A. Great food there. You can get something to eat if you want to afterwards. And it's $5 suggested and a one-drink minimum. And it is going to be a night of stars. Speaking of stars, I mean, it's Terry Sweeney, and he's going to be going selling his book there, too, Irritable Wild Bowels and the People Who Give You Them by Terry Sweeney. You remember him from, Saturday Night Live. And that was Alan Zweibel, who used to write for it. Saturday Night Live, that's the connection. So let me give you the lineup. It's Terry Sweeney, Terry Mintz, Eddie Brill, fantastic comedian, Gilda Conrad, Joel Lintz, Jillian Thomas, and music with Homesick Hound Dogs. You don't want to miss this show. It's going to be awesome. Get there early for a good seat because it always sells out. 8 p.m. Wednesday, September 16th at Sidewalk Cafe. That's 94 Avenue A. Okay, that's the corner of 6th Street and Avenue A. Check it out. Thank you. Now let's keep the show moving. Yeah, let's do a little more Alan Zweibel. This is an interesting story of how the first time he met Gilda Radner. And
I'm
just
looking around
his book,
the room,
Bunny Bunny.
And I see John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd and Chevy and Al Franken, and I'm going, oh my God, these guys are really funny. Oh God, what am I going to do? Because now everyone had to tell ideas they had for sketches for this new show. So I think I handled it well. In the corner of Lorne's office, there was a potted plant, big potted plant, that I went behind and ducked down. I didn't want to be revealed as a fraud. I knew I couldn't compete with these guys. They were hysterically funny. So the meeting starts, and I'm squatting behind this plant. And the meeting is going on, people are telling their ideas for sketches, and all of a sudden, I hear from the other side of the plant, I hear a girl say, why are you behind the plant? I said, well, it's roomy. It's roomy back here. And she said, first TV show? I went, yeah. She says, you're pretty nervous, Alan, aren't you? I said, well, yeah. How you know my name is Alan? She said, well, you're the only one wearing a name tag. She said, is there the extra room back there? I went, why? She said, well, because it's my first TV show and I'm really nervous too. So she came behind the potted plant, and now the two of us are squatting back there while this meeting is going on. And that's how I met my buddy Gilda. We left in 1980. I stayed in New York. I married Robin, and Gilda moved to California. We all dispersed, and Gilda and I had the problem of having a long-distance relationship. You know, it's hard to keep even just a friendship, a platonic friendship, alive across a whole country like that. And it got reduced a little bit from phone calls to just Christmas cards. And I stayed here, and I started writing plays and started getting published. And I moved to L.A. Robin and the kids are back here. We had a home in North Caldwell, New Jersey at the time. And I rented a house, and the day I'm moving in, you know, furniture and whatever, Gilda walks in the door, and she's got this housewarming gift for me. She's got this big potted plant. So we put it in the corner of the room, and I just look at her, and I go, you look beautiful, honey. How do you feel? And she says, Zweibel, I just found out I don't have Epstein-Barr virus. I said, that's great, so we can go out. She says, I have cancer. I said, what? She said, I have ovarian cancer, Zweibel, and I need you to help me get through this part of my life. And I said, what do I do? She said, make me laugh. And that became my role in my friend Gilda's life when she got sick. She was such a symbol of courage because she was not going to let this disease get the best of her. She appeared everywhere. She would go to a Laker game with, she didn't have any hair. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar would go up to her and go, I don't have any either. And they would take pictures together. You know, she appeared everywhere, and her mission became to show people that, okay, you've got dealt a weird deck right now. I'm going to deal with it. I'm not going to let this get the best of me.
Great story. Wasn't that a great story? Love it. Alan Zweibel just had a new children's book out. And so you want to check that out. You know I love these guys. Afterbirth Monkey, their latest song. Here we go. Chore Wheel. You can find them on Facebook and on CD Baby. Taking a little bit to warm up here. Let's see. Afterbirth Monkey. Don't know what's going on. It played last time I had it on. Do I not have the sound right? Okay. Let's do another Afterbirth Monkey song then. Okay. This one's for Betty Jo.
Meryl Streep is from the future. She has traveled back in time. She comes from a land where stars shine brighter, like Meryl shines in yours and mine. Back in the future where Meryl's from, she's just an acting average Joe. But now that Meryl's here, there are no acting heights to which she can't go.
Oh, Meryl Streep, you are a goddess of emotion. But in the future where you're from, you're just like everybody else. So you turn back time to be among us ordinary people. Oh, Meryl Streep, we love you because you shine, shine, shine.
Back in the future when Meryl was in high school, when she couldn't get into her drama club, she flew to the physics lab with fervor and snapped upon her rubber gloves.
Using lots of scientific physics, magic, Meryl grasped the hands of time.
And she fell into a wormhole, and now she's doing fine.
Oh, Meryl Streep, you are a goddess of emotion. But in the future where you're from, you're just like everybody else. So you turn back time to be among us ordinary mortals.
Oh, Meryl Streep, we love you because you shine, shine, shine.
Everybody, listen up.
Listen up.
Remember to give Meryl all of the awards, the accreditations, the roles, the paychecks.
Accreditations!
Because if she is in the slightest bit displeased, she will once again rip back the fabric of space and time.
Time
to the very
time.
Beginnings of humanity when we climbed out of the primordial ooze. And she will merely dip in one big fucking toe.
Big toe!
Making us all a little bit Meryl. And then she will become supreme overlord of us all! Ah! Oh, Meryl Streep, you are a goddess of fucking everything. But in the future where you're from, you're just like everybody else.
Ah!
So turn back time and enslave all of humanity. Oh, Meryl Streep,
we love you because you shine, shine, shine. Meryl
Streep, we love you because you shine, shine, shine. Love that, Betty Jo. Love that. Cyanide's in the house. Marco Polo, where you been? Also a shout out if Terry Mintz is listening. Word, the storytelling show this Wednesday, the 16th. And to my buddy Jack Hoffman and his wonderful wife. They are the biggest supporters of everything comedy. You got to love them. You just do. Jack, Mr. Hoffman, if you're listening, this one's for you. Dorothy Lamour and Bob Hope. Here we go.
Yes? No?
You won't say yes and you won't say no. You let my poor heart pound. But you smile at me and around I go on the merry-go-round around. You build me up till the sky seems low, then plop, I hit the ground. But you hold my hand and around I go on the merry-go-round around. When a friend says to me, where the heck are you bound? What the deuce can I say? Just around and around and around. You won't say leave and you won't say whoa. I've tried to get unwound. But you kiss me once and around I go on the merry-go-round around.
Oh, 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 oh. Oh, you won't say yes and you won't say no. You let my poor heart pound. But you smile at me and around I go on a merry-go-round around. You build me up till the sky seems low, then plop, I hit the ground. But you hold my hand and around I go on a merry-go-round around.
Dumbo, what's that?
Why do you cut into my scene?
Please, I'm singing.
Singing? You'll never go any place with your singing. You can't even cry.
I may have a nervous breakdown in this spot.
Have one up in the tree, will you?
Yes, I'll say hello to your relatives.
You won't say leave and you won't say whoa.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-dee,
ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba around.
I won't say yes and I won't say no. I let your poor heart pound, but you smile at me and around I go on the merry-go-run-around.
You build us up till the sky seems low, then plop, I hit the ground. But you hold our hand and around we go on the merry-go-run-around. When a friend said to me, where the heck are you bound? What the deuce can I say? Just around and around and around. You won't say leave and you won't say whoa. Oh!
Who dare?
Why try to get on one? But you kiss me once and around I go on the merry-go-round.
Funny, gotta love that Bob Hope song. I found that on the internet. It was very unusual. And you know, let's see. I got Cyanide hasn't been in the house in a while. I gotta find something for Cyanide. Let's see. Okay, Cyanide. Oh, this one's for you, Cyanide. Marco Polo from Dom Carosa.
Cheese and eggs. Holy schmoly, it's early. My poor legs, get your butts out of bed. Curds and whey, I've a very good price today. If there's someone who cannot pay, you can put it on layaway. What's that smell? What an odious odor. I can't tell. Is it coming from me? No! What's that smell? It is coming from everywhere. Smells like sewage and burning hair. Something treacherous fills the air.
Good morning, Theobald.
Morning, Dr. Bickerstaff.
This morning, Theobald, I'd like an extra pint of...
What's that smell? Oh, thank goodness it's not just me. Rings a bell like fermented gangrene. Don't smell swell.
Catastrophic and gloomy.
Sort of liking touch to...
Sending shivers all through me.
hugging my baby. Smell that smell, worse than toy poos and puke. You can tell that some trouble is brewing. Here comes Constable Ewing.
He can tell us what's doing. Rancid and rank. I've searched well, there's not been a slime, nor are corpses decaying. Can't believe what I'm saying.
Effluvia.
Also online. Big kiss, bye-bye.